Have you this evening and appreciate the good number who have joined with us. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the Gospel of John chapter 11 once again. The Gospel of John in chapter 11 after the Feast of Dedication in mid-December of 29 AD. The Lord Jesus left the city of Jerusalem and traveled eastward to the place where John the Baptist had first baptized. And it was there that he ministered with parables and miracles along the east side of the Jordan River and showed signs of his deity over and over again. But then in our study together last time, we saw how that in mid to late January of 30 AD, the Lord Jesus determined to return to Judea. And the reason was that there was a spectacular miracle that needed to be performed in the city or the village of Bethany. And of course, that was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. You remember we saw number one, the introduction. And we saw an introduction, first of all, of the people. There was Lazarus. There was also his two sisters, Mary and Martha, who lived there in the village of Bethany. But not only did we see the introduction of the people, we saw the introduction of the problem. And the problem was that Lazarus was seriously ill. And so then we saw, number two, the communication, how that Mary and Martha sent word informing the Lord Jesus of the situation that they were facing, informing him of the fact that Lazarus was seriously ill. But then you remember we saw number three, the reaction, and several things that we noted here. First of all, there was his delay. After hearing the news, the Lord Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. But then when he finally announced his intention to return to Judea, we saw his discouragement. The disciples were not in favor of returning to Judea. They remembered how that the Jewish leaders had determined to kill the Lord Jesus. And so instead of going back, they wanted to stay where they were. But instead of focusing on the dangers, the Lord Jesus chose to only focus on doing the will of his Heavenly Father. In other words, he refused to allow his actions to be controlled or dictated by a spirit of fear. And this naturally led then to his dedication. He was dedicated to the purpose of not wasting his life, but living his life in the light of the will of his Heavenly Father. And then we saw his declaration, letter D, how that Lazarus was dead. And he tells his disciples that Lazarus is dead, but that he's going to go and wake him up out of sleep. We saw that in John chapter 11 and verse 11. And of course, the purpose of that was so that the faith of his disciples might grow stronger. A stronger faith was certainly something that they are soon going to need as we draw closer and closer to Calvary. By the way, let me just mention here that most people, and many times even Christians, many times we become so self-centered that they will think that everything in their life is all about them, that everything that comes their way, it's all about them. In other words, they never stop to realize that there are times when God will allow us to face a time of trouble for the good and for the benefit of somebody else. That was certainly true in the case of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Their situation was extremely painful, and yet God allowed that in order to be a help to his own disciples. And then we saw letter E, his determination. The Bible says in verse number 15 that nevertheless, the Lord Jesus said, let us go to him. Nevertheless, that let us go to him. Now that's where we had to stop last time, but there was one disciple in particular who was still not totally convinced. And of course, that disciple is oftentimes referred to as Doubting Thomas. And so we find it in John chapter 11 and verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. In other words, Thomas is totally convinced that this is not going to end well. It's not going to end well. That not only is the Lord Jesus going to go and the religious leaders are going to kill him, they're also going to kill all of his disciples. And so Thomas said, well, let's go ahead and go, and we'll just all die. We'll all die together. We'll all die together. In other words, his idea was if the Lord Jesus was willing to go and get himself killed, then he was willing to follow him to the death. And it's here that we want to continue now. I want you to notice in verse number 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, let me just sort of give you the order of events here, as I believe that they happened. First of all, there was a day of travel from Bethany to where the Lord Jesus was ministering on the east side of the Jordan River. And so then we come to day one, and that was the day when several things happened. First of all, the messenger located the Lord Jesus. And then while he was delivering the message concerning the sickness of Lazarus, Lazarus actually died. And according to Jewish custom, he was buried that same day. That was day one. On day two, the messenger returned to Bethany and informed Mary and Martha that the Lord Jesus was coming. That's the good news. Bad news is he's not coming right away. He's not coming right away. But then it really did not matter because Lazarus was already dead. And in their minds, there was no more hope. On day three, the Lord Jesus waited yet another day. And then on day four, the Lord Jesus made the journey to Bethany. And when he arrived, we find a couple of things. Number four in our outline of this chapter, notice the sorrow. And as we consider the sorrow that he discovered, I wanted us to notice, first of all, the sorrow of the sisters. The sorrow of the sisters. In verse 18 and verse number 19, the Bible says, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. In other words, because Bethany was only about 3.2 kilometers from the city of Jerusalem, and because Lazarus was obviously a man of position, he was a man who was well known, he was a man of standing, and therefore many of the Jewish leaders had come to pay their respects. They had come to offer their condolences and to try to comfort the family during this time of sorrow. But it was then that news came. Maybe some messenger brought it. The Bible does not say. But news arrived that the Lord Jesus was coming. And I want you to notice the response. First of all, the response of Martha. The response of Martha. In verse number 20, the Bible says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Now, as Martha comes to the Lord Jesus, there are several things that we notice here. First of all, there is her question. There is her question. And by the way, this question is actually an unspoken question that is couched in a statement. It's an unspoken question that is couched in a statement. Notice it in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now that's the statement. But in that statement is that unspoken question, why didn't you come? We sent word and you knew the situation. Why did you not come? Why did you not do something? And so there's the question. But then also notice there is her hope. Her hope. In verse number 22, Martha said, "But I know that even now," Lazarus is already dead, and he's already in the grave. "But even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." And then we see her promise. Let her see. Her promise in verse number 23, "Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again." He shall rise again. That's the promise that she received. But with that promise that was given to her, we also see her error. Her error. Notice it in verse 24. "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But see, the error was the Lord Jesus was not talking about a future resurrection. He was speaking of a present resurrection. When Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise again," he was not looking way down the road to some future time. He was talking about today. Today, your brother is going to rise again. And then we see then her correction. In verse number 25 and verse 26, Jesus makes it very clear when he said unto her, "I am," notice it, present tense. He did not say, "I will be." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now, please understand that in these two verses, there are two very important truths that the Lord Jesus was teaching. First of all, he was teaching that those who believe on Jesus Christ, even though they may die physically, they will be very much alive. The Apostle Paul spoke of this very same truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, when he said, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body," that's the physical death, "yet present with the Lord." So those who believe on Jesus Christ, even though they may be physically dead, yet spiritually, they are very much alive. But there's a second truth that the Lord Jesus was teaching, and that is this. Those who live and believe on Jesus Christ will never die spiritually. Those who live and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will never die spiritually. And then came the question, "Believest thou this? Martha, do you believe what I'm telling you?" And from the answer that she gives, it is clear that even though she did not fully understand the meaning of the message, she had faith in the messenger. Notice it in verse 27. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." The Bible then tells us in verse 28 and following, "And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him." Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." And so now we come to see the sorrow, not only of Martha, but notice the sorrow of Mary. And as we consider Mary, there's a couple of points that we want to notice. First of all, her worship. Her worship. Now, please remember that this is the same Mary. This is the same Mary that we read about in Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. This is the one that the Bible says sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. While her sister Martha was busy and taking care of all so many things and was so busy and serving and helping the guest and meeting the needs that were there, Mary sat quietly at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listening to his teaching, listening to his preaching. This is the same Mary also that we read about in verse number 2, if you'll remember, we saw before. This is the same Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And so it's not surprising then that we find that when Mary was come, verse number 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Oh, she's been at his feet many times before. She's comfortable there. And so she falls down at his feet in worship. And then we see also her question. It's the same unspoken question that Martha had raised. The same unspoken question couched in the form of a statement. Notice it. She fell down at his feet saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. There's the sorrow of the sisters. But then I want you to notice letter B, there is the sorrow of the Savior. The sorrow of the Savior. In verse number 33, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. That word groaned in the spirit, it's not speaking of an audible sound. Rather, it simply refers to the fact that he was deeply affected. He's deeply agitated by the sorrow that death had brought to this family that he loved. I cannot help but remember the words penned by Frank Graff in 1901 when he wrote the hymn, Does Jesus Care? When I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it aught to him? Does he see? And then you remember the answer is given in the refrain, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And so therefore we see a couple of things. As Jesus sees the sorrow of these sisters, he then asks the question in verse number 34, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then again, we see the emotion of the Savior. Verse number 35, the Bible says that Jesus wept. And then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, not because of their sorrow, but because of the hardness of their unbelieving hearts. And he cometh to the grave. There we find the confrontation number 5. There's a twofold confrontation here. First of all, there is the confrontation with the grave. A confrontation with the grave. Notice it in verse number 38 that it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. You know, as you stop and think about this, you realize that this is actually a picture. It's a picture of finality. It's a picture of finality. In other words, it was the place of no escape. It's a cave. And there's a huge stone covering the mouth of it. It's a place that had already been described over the past couple of days. It had already been described as Lazarus's final resting place. A place of finality. And so the Lord Jesus, first of all, confronts the grave. But then he also confronts the enemy. The confrontation with the enemy. And let's just read together, follow along in your Bible, beginning in verse number 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. And because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Wouldn't you love to have been standing there in that area and seen this amazing miracle? Sometimes I hear people talk about time travel, and I'll be honest with you, I have a couple of places that if it were actually possible to go back in time, there's a couple of things that I would love to go back and see. I'd love to go back and see Israel going through the Red Sea. I think that would be a pretty awesome thing. But another thing that I would love to see would be this right here. When the Lord Jesus cries out, "Lazarus, come forth," and he that was dead came forth. By the way, did you know, if you stop and think about it, this is the very same thing that we look forward to as believers in Jesus Christ. We've already seen how that the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. And you remember what we saw in John chapter 10, verse 3, concerning the good shepherd? It said, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." Notice this. "And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." But not only does he lead us through this life, there's coming a day when he will call the dead bodies of each one of his sheep and those who are still living. And he's going to call them by name out of this world and into heaven's glory. In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul spoke of in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 18. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." As we bring this to a close this evening, let me close by asking you this. If the Lord Jesus should sound the call today, would you be ready to go? Would you be ready to go? Are you really one of his sheep? Would he call your name? Would he call your name? And if you are one of his sheep, are you abiding in him? Are you living in fellowship with him on a daily basis? Are you living in a constant state of communion with him? You know, that's the very thing John wrote about in 1 John 2:28 when he said, "And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." My prayer this evening is that God will help every one of us to be ready, for that day that will most certainly come. That day when our Savior is going to come and he's going to call his sheep by name. Those who have died, he's going to call them out of the grave, and they shall go to forever be with the Lord in a body that is totally glorified. And for those of us who are still living when that day comes, the Apostle Paul says we're going to be caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we also are going to be changed. This old body of wicked and sinful flesh is going to be changed into a glorified body. It could happen tonight. So the question is, again, are you ready? Are you ready? If he came tonight, would you be ready to go meet him? If he came tonight, would you stand before him with confidence? Or would you be ashamed at his coming?